Okay. Good morning, everybody. I'll give you an introduction to the EASY project, which is our way of trying to keep the P in HPC. How many people here know what HPC stands for? Everybody. Okay. I can skip one slide. So I'm an HPC sysadmin, supercomputing here at Ghent, well, here in Belgium at Ghent University. Been doing open source for quite a while. I like other things beyond open source as well. Usually, if you bring me a beer, I'm happy. It's a bit too early for that for now. I've been coming to FOSDEM for a while. I've been co-organizing the HPC dev room, which is just two doors down, since 2014. And I'm the lead developer of the EASYBOOL project and also a core contributor to EASY. And there's a strong relation between these two. So HPC, everybody knows it. I can skip it. Large computers, parallel computing. Expensive servers, lots of CPU cores, maybe some GPUs as well, fast interconnect storage. It's a complex beast, right? And it's not that easy to use as well. So anything we can do to simplify this is actually helpful. What is important that in supercomputers, you often see very recent CPUs. Like often the vendors will first deliver a first batch of new CPUs to a supercomputer. So you're dealing with the latest stuff. Modern microprocessors support vector instructions, things like AVX, AVX 512, you've hopefully heard about these things. On ARM, you have the scalable vector extensions, and using these is quite important for performance. Like if you're not using the vector instructions, or if the binaries you're running are not using vector instructions, it's like you're not using half your PC, or half your CPU, rather. You could be running on a Pentium 4, might as well. So these things are important because some parts of the hardware are really dedicated to running the parts of the binary that use these vector instructions. So if you're not using them, you're leaving a lot of performance on the table. You're not using a big part of what the CPU supports. So you will be impacted and potentially heavily impacted, especially with scientific software running on supercomputers. There's a flip side as well. If your binaries use vector instructions, and you're running it on a CPU that's a bit older that doesn't support them, it will just crash. You'll get illegal instruction and it will not work at all. So there's this balance between both. But we do in high-performance computing, we care a lot about the performance, so we go through the pain of not using these generic binaries that work everywhere. So we want to keep the P in HPC. That means we need to optimize our software for the hardware it's going to run on. So we won't take a random binary from the internet and say, this is probably be fine. No, we're going to build our software from source on the host where it's actually going to run. And we're going to tell the compiler, optimize for this CPU that you're seeing right here. So this can be quite important, especially for scientific software. So how important? There's a good example. GROMAX is a molecular dynamics simulation software. So you simulate like molecules and atoms, and that's all I know about GROMAX. Don't ask me more. But I know it consumes a lot of compute. There's some numbers, they've done some statistics. It consumes about 5% of the supercomputing power in Europe. That's a lot, right? 5% is not small, but this is one software package consuming 5% of everything that's there in Europe. So this is huge. Now with GROMAX, you have to be very careful. What the graph shows here is we're on one system, a fairly recent system, an AMD EPYC Zen 4 that has 192 cores in total. So we're stuck to a single computer. We're running a recent version of GROMAX with a particular input. The details are there, but they're not really too important. And the different graphs show you different GROMAX binaries. So exact same source code, exact same GROMAX version, exact same system. All we did is compile the binary differently. Higher is better, so higher means better performance. If we're using a generic binary on the left, we're essentially using SSE2 instructions, which I think a Pentium 4 20 years ago already supported, so it makes zero sense. And then you get about 8 nanoseconds of simulated time per day. It's a weird metric, but yeah, it gives you some idea. If we're doing a bit better job, if you say build GROMAX for a more modern CPU, let's say the last decade, anything that supports AVX2 instructions, we already gain a bit. We get to, let's say, 11.5. And if we go full out and really optimize for the CPU we're running on, we get another bump. Now, the difference here is 78%, going from left to right. So if you're not careful and you happen to be on the left, you're losing a lot of performance and you're spending just way more time running your simulations. And you're not using half the hardware that was quite expensive to buy. So that's a bad idea. You don't want to do that. You want to make sure you're on the right side of the graph as much as possible. Now, very good. Why don't we always do that? Well, we try to, but there's a lot of scientific software that gets run on supercomputers, and it's getting worse and worse. It's really expanding to other fields. Bioinformatics is now very compute hungry as well. They have a lot of data. They can start running on GPUs, so supercomputing is very interesting for